Today, Baruch Hashem, we have a real treat here in the Karlo. We have Rabbi David Heber from Baltimore, who is here to address us on Birchas Hachama. Birchas Hachama is a subject which is complicated, and it's something that we know very little about because it only happens every 28 years, as those of you who have already prepared it know from the Gemara. It's not easy to teach about Birchas Hachama, and it requires someone who is, first of all, knowledgeable in the complicated cheshbonos, the calculations that go into Birchas Hachama, and is also able to deliver it in a way that is understandable to the rest of us that aren't necessarily so mathematically inclined. Rabbi Heber, who is the Star K administrator in Baltimore and also the Rav of the Shul of Avos Yisrael Tzemach Tzedek, he's an old friend and mentor from yeshiva, from my days in yeshiva. I did not attend secular college, but when Rabbi Heber offered an astronomy course for the Bachur in Yeshiva and the Younger Life, I took that course because I knew it was the one address to go to fully understand all of these complicated different topics. So we're privileged to have him here to address us on this topic, and he will enlighten us. I do want to point out to you, for those who may be interested for further reading, Rabbi Heber has recently come out with a sefer called Sha'arei Zmanim. It is all in Hebrew, but it addresses these issues and others. And again, in his, as you'll hear him speak, in his way, his very clear, concise, and his way of doing it in a way that we can all understand it. That's really what it comes down to. So it's here in this sefer. It is available for sale for anybody who would like to, and you can let me know afterwards if you're interested in the sefer. Rabbi Heber.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Pransky. It's very exciting to be here in Atlanta, and just by way of introduction, first I want to be Makir Toiv. I want to thank the community of Atlanta. I have three sons who have come through here, primarily my second son, Yoshua, was here in Yeshiva Sar Yisrael for 4 years, and he was in the second graduating class. We were here at the beginning to see the yeshiva. We were here while he was here. We were here for the graduation, and he really enjoyed Atlanta tremendously and misses it. And maybe one day he'll return. Bezat Hashem, my other boys were here on C programs, and again, Atlanta is really a part of our language at home. A yeshar koach to Rabbi Deutsch, Rabbi Pransky, for allowing me to speak here. Rabbi Deutsch is an old yedid from yeshiva. We enjoyed Shabbos with Rabbi Friedman and Dunwoody, had the schus of being there, and Rabbi Pransky also from way back. Rabbi Pransky's first experience, I think, out of town was in a seed program in San Diego for two years. You were there, or second experience? For 2 years. Oh, you were here? So one of his primary experiences out of town was in San Diego when I was in the Kollel there, and we enjoyed him as a bacher, and Baruch Hashem, he's vaksteis to be the Reish Kollel here. And you are the beneficiary of his yediyus and his tremendous wealth of Torah. And as Hashem, the Kollel shall continue to go mechayel chayel from strength to strength. Birchas Hachama is literally the blessing of the sun, and Birchas Hachama will be recited this year on Erev Pesach, coming up just a few weeks away. And the Gemara tells us, which is the Gemara you prepared on the ninth parak of Brachas, that Haraya Chamavit Kufasa, when you see the sun in its Kufa, you should go out and you should say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, or you say Maase Bereishis. You thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you give testimony to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his creation of the world and who makes the work of the creation. Oyse Maase Bereishis. Maybe a little time later we'll talk about the Lashon Hoyveh, the present tense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to make and create the world. It's an ever-going, an ongoing process. This will be recited on Wednesday, April the 8th. Keep that date in mind because we're going to come back to that a little bit later. And on that morning, we will go outside and we will glance at the sun for a moment and we will make this bracha, which is the primary part of the Birchas Hachama. And, of course, the custom is to say various kapit l'chtilim, various verses of Tehillim, and to say kel odayim, which is what we say Shabbos morning, which if you've studied that tefillah on Shabbos, you see it discusses the difference of the celestial bodies. It's a discussion of the heavens and so on, and therefore quite appropriate for Birchas Hachama. And we end with the recitation of Aleinu, as we do Kiddush Levana, when we make the blessing over the moon every month. We end with Aleinu, so too we add Brichas Hachama. Some understand that we end both Kiddush Levana and Brichas Hachama with the Tefillah of Aleinu, because we've just gone out and made a blessing of the sun. God forbid you should think that we're worshipping the sun or we're worshipping the moon. So we immediately say Aleinu Shabeach, Manachnu Karim Shtafa Moedim Lechemelech Malchei Amlochim. We bow only to the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's only one God. There's only one Creator. When we're blessing the sun, we are, God forbid, we are not looking at it as a deity. We're just making a blessing that we recognize the Creator and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created this awesome, unbelievable world with the sun, the moon, and the various stars that are around us. Now, the last time we said Brichas Hachama was on Wednesday, April the 8th, Dalet Nisan 1981, 28 years ago, because Brichas Hachama is every 28 years. The next time we will say it, Bezat Hashem, will also be Wednesday, April the 8th, and it will be on Isru Chag, on the day after Pesach, in the year 2037. So you'll note that there's a fluctuation of the Hebrew days, that basically, most, generally speaking, it will be days in the month of Nisan, although years back it has been recited in the month of Adar. It could be recited in the month of Adar. It's very rare that that happens, but that has historically happened. And, but it's the same English day. It's always on a Wednesday. And it's also on, always on April the 8th in this century. And again, as we understand the mechanics behind Brichas Hachama, we'll gain an appreciation for why that's happening. And of course, the obvious question is, most things that we do in Yiddishkeit relate to the Hebrew day. On Pesach is the night of the 14th, going into the 15th. The 14th we bring the Karban Pesach. On the night of the 15th we eat the matzah, we eat the maror, and then we have a Rosh Hashanah on the first day of Tishrei. We blow shofar, and on the 15th of Tishrei we eat the sukkah, and Yudal Adar is Purim. So we have the festival of Purim. Hebrew, 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 and always the Hebrew is fluctuating in the English calendar. You have a Purim that's usually in March, sometimes it's in February. Rosh Hashanah is usually in September, sometimes it's in October. And here all of a sudden we have this halacha. All of a sudden, Wednesday, April the 8th. In Hebrew, well, it could be Yisru Chag, it could be Erev Pesach, it could be an Adar, it could even be on Yontif. Brichas Hachama, in previous years, has been recited on the Shvishal Pesach, which could be on a Wednesday. Or the second day of Pesach could also be on a Wednesday, so you could actually say it on Yontif. So therefore, if the fluctuation is in the Hebrew calendar, what is going on here, and why is this the case? Before we get to the mechanics and the technicalities, though, we have to appreciate the asiyas ha-mitzvahs, the performance of various mitzvahs. In Yiddishkeit, we have mitzvahs hatmidius, which means consistent mitzvahs that we do on a regular, ongoing basis. We put on talis and tefillin every day. Women bench licht every Friday night, every week. They light Shabbos candles. We daven three times a day. These are mitzvahs which are done. We daven shacharis this morning. This afternoon we'll daven mincha. Tonight we'll daven ma'ariv. Day in and day out, we're performing these mitzvahs hatmidius, these consistent mitzvahs. Then we have mitzvahs that are infrequent. And the purpose of infrequent mitzvahs is to generate a certain excitement. The truth is we should have that excitement every time we put on tefillin or every time we daven. I should be counting down this afternoon, I'm going to daven mincha, and tomorrow I'm going to daven shacharis, I'm going to put on tefillin. But we're human beings, and therefore sometimes it's hard to feel that excitement. We should try, we should work on learning about the mitzvahs. That generates excitement. But one thing is sure, when you have a mitzvah which comes once in 28 years, we fulfill the words of the Chai Adam, that who says in Siman Klal Samaches, that a person for mitzvah should be mamtin umetzapeh masai tovay lidei ha-mitzvah. A person, every mitzvah, he should wait, and he should look, when is this mitzvah coming? I'm counting down, like a chassan and a kala, yes, a chassan, yes, a groom, or yes, a kala, a bride. When's your wedding? Oh, it's 41 days and 6 hours away. There's an excitement because they're getting married, and it's 1 week away, and now in 1 week they're repeating it, or you go on a trip. There's excitement, people are excited, going on a big trip, vacation, 1 week away, 5 days away, 4 days away. So mantenu mitzapa yid, when you do mitzvah, should wait and look ahead for a certain excitement to the performance of the mitzvah. So Baruch Hashem, we have certain mitzvahs that occur infrequently, mitzvahs that occur annually. There's a certain excitement about matzahs, about those that have the opportunity to bake the matzahs, and certainly to eat the matzahs. There's an excitement. It's once a year, we eat in the sukkah, we hear shofar. Those are exciting mitzvahs. But when a mitzvah comes every 28 years, we should utilize it as a catalyst for a certain excitement, like, wow, unbelievable, the last time, it's really once in a generation when you think about it. People who were single are now generally married. People who were married back then are grandparents now. Grandparents are great-grandparents. It's really 28 years is once in a generation. And more so, you go into any school, you go into any elementary school, you go into any high school, You go to almost any kollel, and no one has been fulfilled this mitzvah because they're too young. You have to be to about 30, 31, 32 years old to have been able to fulfill this mitzvah. Typically, it's people fulfill it three times in one person's life. That's really it. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Zichrono Tzadik Livracha, said he had the schus of doing it four times in his life. Now, if you do the math, you basically have to live till about 90 to do it four times in your life. And you have to be born right in the right year. If you have a boy who's now 5 or 6 years old, who will be able to say Brichas Chacham, he's already old enough that he can make a bracha, and he lives another 84 years, so that puts him about 89 or 90 years old, that Bez Hashem will be the fourth time he will be able to make Brichas Chacham. You could all do the math. The next Brichas Chacham in 28 years, how old you will be, and if you want to do even more math, in the Mitzvah Shem in 56 years, how old will you be, Bez Hashem? We should all be Zaycha to say Brichas Chacham at that time. Now, the question is, why is Brichas Chacham once in 28 years? What's the magic number of 28? So we have to understand what the mechanics are, as you've seen in the Gemara. There is what's called a tekufa. There are four tekufas in the year. Tekufa is translated as a season. There are four seasons in the year. The way the Amora Shmuel calculates the seasons is very simple. The year, the earth goes around the sun, and it takes 365 and a quarter days for that to happen. What does that mean? That means if you'd be looking, you'd be on a satellite or a rocket ship, and you'd be above everything, or you can go very high up, you would see that the earth goes around the sun. We've seen this in pictures, you visit planetariums, and you see that you have the sun in the middle, and the earth goes around. That process takes 365 and a quarter days. 365 days and 6 hours. At the time of the creation of the world, the first kufa of Tkufas Nisan, which means spring, occurred at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, which was really Leil Ravi, the beginning of Wednesday. As we know in Parshas Bereishis, we landed on Simchas Torah and Shabbos Bereishis, Vayer Vayi Vayker, Yom HaRavi, which means that the night is the beginning of the Hebrew, of the Jewish day. So therefore, Wednesday began at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. That was the moment of the spring begun, at the time of the creation of the world. I want to interject, and I don't have time to elaborate on this point, but there is a dispute in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah when the world was created. B'Tishrei Nivra Olam or B'Nisan Nivra Olam? Was the world created in Tishrei or was the world created in Nisan? For purposes of this shir, as well as Brichas Chacham, we go with the opinion that B'Nisan Nivra Olam, that in Nisan the world was created. Now on Rosh Hashanah we say, in Davening, Deyam Tchilas Masecha, this is the first day of creation of the world. Adam was created on the first day of Tishrei. We seem to go with that opinion. In the Sefer, in the Perek Gimel, I discuss this issue and how to answer this issue, which I'm not going to get into, of when was the world created and why sometimes we go this way and sometimes we go that way. That's not important for now. What's important for now is that for purposes of Brichas Chacham, we go with the opinion that the world was created in the month of Nisan. Now, the world was created. We had what's called Tliyas HaMa'ayrais, which means the heavenly beings were brought out and began on Wednesday, as it's discussed in the day of Wednesday. That's when the sun and the moon were created. And the beginning of spring was at 6 p.m. on Tuesday night going into Wednesday. Halachic Wednesday. Now, when is the Tekufa going to be the following year? In other words, in year one of the creation of the world, it was at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. What time of the week will it be the following year? So, it's 365 and a quarter days. So, 365 days is equivalent to 52 weeks and one day, and then the extra 6 hours. So, when we think about the day of the week, we will move up a day every year. So, for example, today's date is February the 15th, and it's a Sunday. 365 days from right now will be on a Monday. So if I would want to say, where will the earth be vis-a-vis the sun? What will the date be and the time be when the earth is at the same position as it is right now? When's the next time that's going to happen? Well, it's going to happen in 1 year. Well, what day will that be? Well, that will be exactly 365 and a quarter days from right now. So right now is, let's say, roughly 10 a.m. on February, on Sunday. Well, it will next year be on Monday for the 365th day, plus 6 hours. So the earth will be at this position at 4 p.m. on a Monday next year. And the following year, it'll be on a Tuesday, 6 hours later, at 10 p.m. And so on and so forth. That's why your birthday moves a day later. If you follow your track, your birthday, if your birthday is this year, my birthday is this week, So my birthday this week is on a certain day. I'm not going to tell you which day it is, but it's a certain day of the week. Next year, it's going to be a day later. Let's say it's today. It's not today. Let's say it's today. So my birthday is on Sunday this year, right? It's not today. My friend in yeshiva, who's a few days older than me, is today. So this fellow, right, he has the same first name as I do, David. David's birthday is today. Next year, it's going to be on a Monday. And the following year, it's going to be on a Tuesday. And it just goes to the next day. In a leap year, it leaps, it skips a day. That's why it's called a leap year, because it leaps over. The day skips, your birthday skips a day. So it's the same thing over here. Forget about leap year for a minute. What's happening is, it's one day and 6 hours later. Now that's very important, because when was the tekufa, what time of the week was the tekufa in year number two? Well, if the first tekufa was at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, the following year would be Wednesday plus 6 hours. So that's midnight, early Thursday morning. And the following year, it's going to be Friday at 6 a.m. And the following year, it's going to be Saturday, Shabbos, at 12 noon. And the following year, you see what I'm doing? I'm adding a day and 6 hours. A day of the week and 6 hours. A day of the week and 6 hours. Nothing complicated. The following year is going to be Sunday at 6 p.m. Oh, we're back to 6 p.m. How long did it take us to get back to 6 p.m. again? It took four years. Every 4 years, the tekufa jumps to 6 p.m. But the only thing is, that's 6 p.m. on a Sunday. Okay? 4 years later, it's going to be at 6 p.m. on Wednesday. And 4 years later, it's going to be at 6 p.m. on Monday. And 4 years later, it's going to be 6 p.m. Shabbos, 6 p.m. Thursday, and 6 p.m. Tuesday. In other words, every 4 years, the tekufa goes back to the same time. But it's a different day of the week. If you go through 7 sets of 4, 28, then the tekufa ends up at the exact same time that it was 28 years ago. Namely, in the year 1, the tekufa occurred at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. In the year 29, it occurred at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. In the year 57, right, 29 plus 28, it occurred at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. 29 years after that, again, it occurred once again at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. So the Gemara says, Abaye Amar Abaye, every time that tekufa occurs, the beginning of spring, based on the calculations of the Amayra Shmuel, occur at that 6 p.m. on Tuesday, go outside, and the next morning, and there's no sun, it's already 6 p.m., technically the sun is already going down, go outside the next day, and recite Birchas HaChama, Oisem Asim Reishis. What's happening? And some people always say, the Birchas HaChama is when the sun is in the same position as it was at Bris HaOilam. The truth is, every year the sun is in the same position as Bris HaOilam. That's not a chiddush, there's nothing new about that. What's happening here is that the sun, the earth and the sun, vis-a-vis each other, are at the same position as they were at Bris HaOilam, at the creation of the world, but it's at the same time of the day. It's at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, and therefore the next day we go outside and we recite Birchas HaChama. That is Birchas HaChama in a nutshell, why it occurs every 28 years. Now, as a side note, I want to mention that it's this time of 6 p.m. Tuesday is not a coincidence. I just had this thought a couple of weeks ago, and that is that we know the Gemara tells us, the Chazal tell us that the first 3 days of the week are yoinek from the previous Shabbos. That means Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are a follow-up of the previous Shabbos. That's why you could be Maiver Sedra, you could do Shnei Mikvech HaTargum, review the Sedra, the Torah portion, up until Tuesday if you miss it. You could make Havdol up until Tuesday. The next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, are really preparation for the upcoming Shabbos. That's why it's no coincidence that on the Yom of Wednesday morning, you'll do something you never do in any other Yom. You go on to the next Kapitel Tillim. Every Yom is only one Kapitel Tillim. Wednesday, you go on to the next Kapitel. Kel Mekamos ends, and then at the end, you say L'chuna Ranana, right? That's called the Kleiner L'chuna Ranana. It's the small L'chuna Ranana, because it's a reminder. I don't know if this is the real reason, but it's a reminder that, you know, like they say, TGIF, right? Thank goodness, right? Thank goodness, it's Wednesday. We're already holding in the preparation for the upcoming week, and we're reminded, L'chuna Ranana, soon we'll be standing in shul, Shabbos will begin, and we'll say the grace of the big L'chuna Ranana in preparation of the Holy Shabbos. So, 6 p.m. Tuesday is the transition moment when we go from the previous Shabbos until the next Shabbos. So what? Well, when the world was created on Sunday, What was it yoinek from? What did it nurture it from? There was no Shabbos. There was no Shabbos beforehand. So you had Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday that had no Kedusha Shabbos. The only days ever in the history of the world that had no holiness of Shabbos being sprouted upon it. Every day since then has either had the previous Shabbos or next Shabbos. 6 p.m. Tuesday, when the sun, when the Kupa happened, at that very moment was the first moment that we had the Nitzaitzis. We had the sparks of the upcoming Shabbos. The world already felt in preparation of the holiness of the Shabbos coming, and therefore that moment was a holy moment. That was when the Tlias HaMa'iris, that's when the sun and the moon and the calculations began, and therefore we, so to speak, celebrated every time the Tkufa occurs at that moment. We celebrate this moment by saying Birkas HaChaman the next morning and recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, which is really what Shabbos is all about. It's a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. It's a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to run the show. That's why we say Oisei Maaseh Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day is Mechadish B'chol Yom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu renews the creation every single day. That's, oh, by the way, what Shabbos is all about. In Shabbos, we say something in Kiddush. We say Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim, Zecher Maaseh Bereishis, a remembrance that we went out of Egypt, and a remembrance that God created the world. And the question is, I understand God created the world, but since when do we remember that God took us out of Egypt? What does that have to do with Shabbos? That's Yontif, that's Pesach, that's Sukkot. What does that do with Shabbos? The answer is the answer comes in an Animam, and we say every morning. I believe with a full belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God, is Borei, created Umanigas HaOlam, and continues to run the world. The creation of the world and the Shabbos was the testimony that God created the world. But how do we know He continues to run it? The Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus of Egypt, which we've read about over the past few Shabbosos, is the testimony that God continues to run the show. Hakol Bidei Shamayim, everything is in the hands of heaven. Chutz Mi Yiras Shamayim, except my ability to do good and bad, to do mitzvahs or averus. That's my decision if I want to be a good person or not. But everything, what I look like, where I was born, what my financial situation is, all of that is Bidei Shamayim. When we make Kiddush Friday night, we're recognizing both of these two things. And when we say Oysa Maaseh Bereishis, Birkas Hachama, we're recognizing these two things. Now, anyone scientific recognizes that this number that I keep using is really off. We're saying 365 and a quarter days. However, if you look at an almanac, you'll see that it takes the Earth really 365 days, 5 hours, 48 minutes, and 46 seconds to go around the sun. So that means it's off by 11 minutes and 14 seconds. Which means that the way we're calculating our seasons is not exact. It's not scientifically precise. So what's going on here? 11 minutes is a lot of time. That doesn't seem like a lot of time, but after a period of many years, it's going to be off. So the Chazon Ish answers this question. The Chazon Ish says, "Le'nitnu ha-mitzvus el le'tzarif ha-briyais u'le'dakdek v'mitzvaysav." The mitzvahs were given to not that people to allow people to do mitzvahs ulekabel malchusai and to accept the kingdom of God ulechalhani einam mafsid imakvias yeh bekiruv. It doesn't matter if sometimes we only take an inaccurate number under certain conditions that Chazal allow. Kedei sheyuchu lekayim mitzvahs hamaisiyos af chalushei hadas. In order to fulfill mitzvahs, af chalushei hadas. You know, chalushei hadas means, it means people who don't know, people who don't understand. You throw out a number of people, and you tell them, you have to know that the beginning of spring is going to be every 365 days, 5 hours, 48 minutes, 46 seconds. You can't keep track of that number. So Shmuel, when he came up with the calculation of 365 days and 6 hours, was a rounded off number. Shmuel was sacrificing accuracy for simplicity. It's much easier to calculate a rounded number, to calculate when spring begins, and as we'll see soon, for the recitation of the same Talmud Levracha uses the same calculation that we say in Baruch Aleinu. It's the same calculation. And the reason was, Chazal, in certain cases, Tais and Sukkah, talks about the hypotenuse of an isosceles triangle, how that number is. That's also a number that goes on forever. What number are you going to use? You can round it off. Pi we know is 3.14, etc., etc. You can write a number from here to Baltimore for what pi is, and you still won't be able to finish that number. It could go around the world. That's how long the number is. It's a never-ending number. And it will continue on perpetually forever and ever. So Chazal said, we're just going to round this off. And Chazal, our rabbis, under certain conditions, rounded things off. Now the Maylan, the new moon, which is used to calculate Rosh Chodesh and our Yom Tov, our holidays, that is precise. That had to be precise. because if the Moila, the time of the new moon, would have been off by a second, we would celebrate Pesach, which is supposed to be at the full moon, the 15th of the month, at the time of the new moon. It would be, the whole calendar would be a joke. You go outside and you see Rosh Chodesh is a full moon. We celebrate Rosh Chodesh. It's still at the time of the new moon because the numbers given by Ribbono Shel Olam, by God, to Moshe Rabbeinu, which were passed on from generation to generation, were precise, were scientifically precise, and therefore, for Rosh Chodesh, it has to be exact. But for the seasons, for say the recitation of the same Talmud of Bracha in Shemoneh Esrei, we're asking for rain. So what if it's off a little bit? Rather, let the Hamayim, let the people have an understanding of these times, be able to keep track of these times, and therefore it will be much simpler to follow. Now that's why, if you want to look at the same Talmud of Bracha, which is really works in together with Birchas Hachama, we can understand that. We began saying the same Talmud of Bracha on December 4th. By Maariv, some years December 5th. Also, the English day. Why the English day? Well, the answer is as follows. We're working with seasons. The Gemara tells us that the same Talmud of Bracha begins on the 60th day of Tkufas Tishrei. Tkufas Tishrei is fall. Okay? So according to Shmuel, fall begins on approximately on October the 7th, based on his calculations. And now that you add the code to the 60th day, October 7th is day 1, October 8th is day 2, October 9th is day 3, you'll come up with the 60th day being December the 5th. So on the Maariv of December the 4th, we begin saying the same Talmud to the Bracha. Now you'll notice every fourth year, we had this in 2003, then we had 2007, 2011, we'll have it. Talmud to begins the Maariv of December 5th. That's because the Tekufa of Shmuel occurs on October the 7th at night, which is already halakhically the next day, so therefore the same Talmud to the Bracha gets kicked up a day because of this night time of the Tekufa, and therefore we say it a day later. But if one can ask a question, what do you mean 60th day of fall? Fall begins on September 22nd, 23rd, 21st. 60th day should be the end of November, Thanksgiving time. What does it mean that we say it later? The answer is those 11 minutes add up. Every 128 years, those 11 minutes cause the date of the Saint Talmud to the Bracha and Birchas Hachama to move up a day. Now, just stepping back a minute, the reason why Birchas Hachama and Talmud are, we use the English day to describe when to begin it, is because it's working on the same system as the secular calendar that we have. Why is January 1st January 1st? Because it's 10 days after winter. And it's always going to be 10 days after the beginning of winter because it's working by seasons. It's working by the earth going around the sun, 365 and a quarter a day. Their calculation is basically identical to our calculation, and therefore the Hebrew calendar works by the moon and works on a different premise. But and therefore our holidays, which work by the moon, therefore that's why we use the Hebrew day. But the Talmud Matar and Birchas Hachama, which go by the seasons, are using the same calculation as the secular calendar uses, and therefore it remains the secular date which we have. However, we move slightly away from the beginning of fall. Every 128 years it's a day off. And therefore, Birchas Hachama, in our century, was said on Wednesday, April the 8th. In the 1800s, it was set on April 7th. In the 1700s, it was set on April the 6th, and so on. The same Talmud of Bracha has also moved, and in the 2100s, those of you, Mitzvah Shem, in 91 years, when you start saying the same Talmud of Bracha, you'll see it'll begin on December 5th or December 6th, because every century, it changes. And I will explain that soon, exactly what the mechanics of that is. But before that, it's because the same Talmud of the Bracha begins when it begins, we have something very interesting, and that is the rare Shemoneh Esrei. What is the rare Shemoneh Esrei that we have? When I say rare Shemoneh Esrei, we daven many, many times every year. Every day, we daven three times a day. In fact, in a year, you daven a minimum of 1,143 Shemoneh Esrei, assuming that you daven every day, at a maximum of 1,247. Shemoneh Esrei in the Hebrew year of Tavshin Ayin Vav, Habalein L'Tayva, which is 2015 and 16, we'll have the maximum number of Shemoneh Esrei, which will be 1,247 Shemoneh Esrei. So enjoy it that year. You'll have the most tefillos. It'll be a chash of a year, 1247. That's how many Shemoneh Esrei. You daven many Shemoneh Esrei, and many of them are different. Yesterday we daven Shabbos, today we daven the weekday, and we have sometimes we say the same bracha, sometimes we say Yalav Yavai, Purim we'll say Al Anisim. What is the rarest of all Shemoneh Esrei? The most infrequent Shemoneh Esrei you have occurs every 95 years. It was said in 1899. It was said in 1994. And it will be said in 2089. It's not scientifically every 95 years. It just happens in our period to happen that often. And it revolves around the same talent, the same bracha. And that is as follows. This past year, we almost did this, but we didn't. We had something that's not so frequent. We said we had Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah. Remember, it was, you had the longest benching. And Motzei Shabbos, we said Yalav. Remember, it was a tough, you know, if you had to really, as I say in Yiddish, half cup, you have to keep track of that Shemana Esrei. You had to say Atachar Antonu, because it was Motzei Shabbos. You had to say Yalav Yavai, because it was Rosh Chodesh. And you had to say Al Hanisim, because it was Chanukah. Okay, so lots of things going on. But we usually, the end of Chanukah, we say the same Talamat of the Bracha, because the end of Chanukah occurs after December the 4th. So this year, it was end of Chanukah, was already in late December, so we said the same Talamat of the Bracha. But imagine if you had such an early year, where the end of Chanukah occurred before December the 4th. Such was the year 1994. And you had a Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, where Matzei Shabbos, after Shabbos, was all of them. Then you have this event. You have Atachar Antonu, you have Yalav Yavad, you have Al Hanisim, and you have the same bracha. Right? You have the same bracha, so you have that combination. Only happened in 1994, will happen again in 2089. So, Mr. Shah, like I said, you'll calculate in 80 years how old you'll be, and if you missed it in 94, or you didn't realize what you were doing, you'll know you'll have it in Mitzvah Shem then. Now, we have early years that occur, the end of Hanukkah. For example, 2013, Habalein Otaiva, which is just a few years off, we have an extremely early year that occurs. We have it so early that Hanukkah will occur on Thanksgiving. Right? If you eat a turkey dinner, you'll eat the turkey dinner after you light the second candle for Hanukkah, because it'll be on the second night of Hanukkah. Tainis Esther will be on February the 21st. So imagine that, 6 days from now, will already be Tainis Esther, and then Purim will be the following, since it's a Thursday, it'll be the following Sunday. It's a really early year, but in that year, the end of Hanukkah will be with the same bracha, but you don't have that Matzei Shabbos, where you have Rosh Chodesh, right? Rosh Chodesh is not going to be on Sunday that year, and therefore you don't have this combination of events that occur. Now, why? So it ties in to the secular calendar, and as we said, Shmuel did not care that it's off. I should mention that, of course, scientifically is different. There is another calculation, which I'm just going to mention in passing, known as Tkufas Rav Ada, and Rav Ada has a different calculation, which is more accurate, and that is used for the calculations of Pesach occurring in the spring. That's the most important part of the seasons. The Jewish calendar is lunisolar. It's by the moon, but we want to make sure Pesach occurs in the spring, and that's why we have leap years. Leap years push off the year so that you don't have a Pesach falling in the winter, as when I was a kid, the picture of an Olamenu, right, the Tar Masorah magazine, which I'm sure they get here, had a picture of a snowman eating matzahs, right, to illustrate that's what would happen if we would not have a leap year. And therefore, the purpose of the leap year is to push Pesach into the spring. And that's what happens. So every few years, we have a Shana Muberes, we have a leap year. Those calculations are very complex and are based on the Tekufa of Rav Ada. I should mention, and the Shvili Derkiah mentions this, and this really gets into the secular calendar, really the Catholic calendar, and then Vahavdol, and again, the Shvili Derkiah in his Sefer talks about Easter, and Easter technically ties into Pesach. It's always the same time, but you'll notice some years it doesn't come out the same time. The answer is because Yin are using one calculation for spring, and the Catholic religion is using a different calculation for spring, and three times every 19 years those split, and therefore Easter will occur Purim time instead of Pesach time, because that's what actually in the year 325 in the Council of Nicaea, when at that time Easter was tied into Pesach, but they wanted to separate Easter from Pesach, they wanted to show we're a different religion, we don't tie into Yiddishkeit, we're totally different, which was really a blessing in disguise that they separated themselves out so people would not, God forbid, be confused, and therefore they switched their day of rest from Saturday to Sunday, and they made Easter not necessarily fall out at the same time as Pesach based on the calculations of when spring begins. Now all of this was known, this 11 minutes was known by Pope Gregory. Pope Gregory was a pope who lived in the late 16th century, and in the year 1582, he said, you know what, our holidays in the secular calendar in the Christian calendar, we're moving away from winter, right? Their main holiday that they celebrate on December 25th was moving away from the beginning of winter. It needs to be right at the beginning of winter. That's part of the holiday. And because the Julian calendar was using the 365 and 6 hour year, it was digressing every 128 years, and they were very troubled by this. So Pope Gregory said, we're going to fix the calendar. We're going to make two changes. One change is we're going to retroactively make it that we're back to where it was in the year 325. At the Council of Nicaea, we want our December 25th holiday to occur at the same time it was in 325. Well, that's 1,200 years. In 1,200 years, the calendar had digressed 10 days. So he said, we're going to take 10 days out of the calendar. And that's what happened. It went from October 5th to October 15th, and there were riots in the streets. Because imagine, let's say you get a paycheck every 2 weeks, but you pay your mortgage or rent every month. So all of a sudden, October 5th, October 15th, you don't get a paycheck again. You don't get it for 2 weeks later. All of a sudden, your rent is due on the 1st of November. You're in Gehak Tzaris, which means you got big problems. So there were a lot of riots that took place that went on. In Yonah de Yoyma, which means the topic of the day, is it's President's Day weekend. And how was President's Day weekend invented? It's really a mix of Abraham Lincoln's birthday, which was February 12th. It's a big deal this year. It's the 200th anniversary. And George Washington's birthday, which is when? February 22nd. Now, if you look at the birth certificate of George Washington, who had a birth certificate that proved he was born in America, you'll see that his birth certificate said that he was born on February the 11th, not February 22nd. Actually, President's Day, when 1971, when they decided to make Monday holidays, they, instead of having Washington's birthday, this, and Lincoln's, different states did different things. There was Illinois had Lincoln's birthday, because Lincoln, Land of Lincoln. Other states had, and Georgia, I'm sure they didn't do Land of Lincoln Day. They probably did Washington's birthday, right? So therefore, it was diverse. So they decided to make this President's Day. There's even a dispute of what it's called. Is it called Washington's birthday? What's the real name? Anyway, people know it as President's Day. It's a pshara, it's a compromise between the February 12th and the February 22nd. So if you look at the birth certificate of George Washington, you will see that he was born on February 11th. Now, why am I telling you all this American history for? This is on Birchas Hanukkah, because it gives us appreciation of this change and how it impacted on Chazal. Because in America, which was under rulership at the time of Britain, or in the early 1700s, was it parts were Spain, parts were France, whatever it was, they had not changed the calendar yet. They were going on the old-style calendar without the 10 days that were taken out. And therefore, Washington was born before the change took place in America, so that's why it says February 11th. Now you'll say, it's 11 days. Hold on a second, we'll explain that. The other thing that Pope Gregory did was he fixed the calendar for the future. And that is, he said, okay, every approximately 100 years, we're not going to have a leap day. Because remember, the true scientific calendar is about 11 minutes less than the 365 days and 6 hours. It's 11 minutes less. And therefore, that 11 minutes adds up over time. Therefore, we need to take out of February 29th. What's February 29th for? Every 4 years, those 6 hours add up to a day. But we need to pull one out. So he said, every 100 years is not going to be a leap year. Unless it's divisible by 400. So 1700 was not a leap year. 1800 was not a leap year. Even though it's divisible by 4, right? 1896 was a leap year. 97, 98, 99. 1900 should have been a leap year, but it wasn't. 1901, 02, 03, 04. So you had a low leap year between 1896 and 1904. 1900 was skipped. 2000, boy, it would have been exciting not to have a leap day. But every 400th year is a leap year. So 2100 will not be a leap year, 2200, etc. That was the tikkun that he made, al ha'asid, which means that's how he fixed the calendar for the future. Now what does it have to do with us? Why do we care about this? Well, first of all, George Washington, born in the 1700s, that's why it was 11 days off, because there were 10 days different in the old system from October 1582, and then 1700 was now a leap year, so it was another day off, and therefore it was 11 days off. It was only later, when they changed the calendar in America in 1752, that Washington's birthday got kicked off 11 days to February the 22nd. That was have to do with us. If you look in the Beis Yosef, in the Siman Kuf Yud Zayin, you'll see the St. Talmud Levracha begins on November the 22nd or 23rd. Now, the Avodram, who was a Rishon, is really referring to the night before that. And we look at that halacha, and we see Hey, 1 second. We don't start with Sayyid Talmud with Bracha then. We started 13 days later. And the printer did us a favor in the Beis Yosef and wrote in parentheses, November 3rd. November 3rd. That's also wrong, because the printer lived 100 years ago. So that favor of giving us the right time is today incorrect. It's actually exciting to look at the Beis Yosef, because the Beis Yosef says that Talmud begins on November the 22nd or 23rd. It depends how many days February has. It's so exciting. You look at a Beis Yosef, you see English words. You think it's an art scroll. It's right here in front of you. It's a Beis Yosef that's telling you the English days, February, 29 days, 28 days, and so on and so forth. But the bottom line is that the calendar has moved the days, and therefore, Sayyid Talmud to the Bracha moves for every century, where there's no leap year. It moves a day, and therefore in the 22nd century, it will begin on Maariv of December 5th or December 6th, and Birchas HaChama also moves, sometimes it's April 8th, and in the last century, it was April the 7th. But one thing is for sure, it's always going to be on a Wednesday. Now, this tampering of the calendar is not unique to what Pope Gregory did. There was an attempt, there was an attempt about 50 years ago, to make a new change in the calendar. See, our calendar is based on archaic ideals. I mean the secular calendar. It's based on ideas. July and August are both 31 days in a row. It makes no sense. You know why? Because Augustus and Julius Caesar, they were arrogant. They said, my month has to have 31 days. Right? So they stole from February, right? The month of my birthday is the shortest month of the year. Only 28 days. It makes no sense. If you're an accountant, you pay bookkeeping. It makes no sense. So in the world of metric, that when, remember the movement of metric, it was going, everything could be organized, one nice organized world. There was a movement to create a world calendar. And the world calendar would have been devastating to Klal Yisrael. As I will explain in Tusiata Dishmaya, it never happened. What was the world calendar? There's several versions. I'm going to give you the simplest version to explain orally without having the charts and so on. The truth is, this was not the most popular idea, but it certainly brings across what was going on. And that is, as we mentioned, there are 365 days in a quarter in the year, 365 and a quarter days in the year. If you take 364 and divide it by 13, you get 28. So it's had a great idea. Let's make 13 months, and every month will be 28 days. So that's perfect. If you're an accountant, it's an accountant's dream. Payday is the second and the 16th of the month. It's always going to be on a Monday. Every month is the same. The fourth of the month will always be on a Wednesday. And the seventh, you don't even a calendar. You just know, today's the first, it must be a Sunday. And today's the 15th, it must be a Sunday. And beautiful. It's perfect. There's only one problem. There's that nagging 365th day. What are you going to do with that day? So what are you going to say? The 13th month of the year is the last month, whatever they named it. And now the 13th month, the 28th of that month, is going to be the 364th day of the year. But we got to have a 365th day. Now, if we call it Sunday, we make it the 29th day of the month, and we call it Sunday the 29th, well, then your whole calendar doesn't work. Because then the next day is going to be Monday, January 1st, and your beautiful cubic months are going to be a problem. This month, actually, as we have it. February, we would have exactly, it only happens in February, it only happens every few years, where we have a cubic month, where you look at a nice four-week line, right? Take a look at your palm, and you'll see that the bottom two lines are blank. Because when do you have a four-week month exactly? In fact, people get confused because of that, because March and February are identical. So I showed up at a simcha on Monday night, February the 2nd. I was driving to TA, she was coming for a bar mitzvah, and on the way I wanted to know where a TA it is, and I called somebody and said, there's no bar mitzvah tonight. I said, are you sure? He says, it's my cousin. I would have been invited to the bar mitzvah. And there's no bar mitzvah. I got confused. It was Monday night, March the 2nd. But Monday, 2nd, I scribbled it in on Monday. It would be identical month that would we have that month right now. Exactly as you know it, we would have every single month. Perfect month. The problem is, what do we do with that extra nagging day? We want to start every month on a Sunday. What do we do? So, well, you know what? They said, it's not going to be any day of the week. It's going to be called World's Day. And it's no day of the week whatsoever. So you'll have Saturday, the 13th, 28th day of the 13th month, followed by no day of the week, World's Day. And then everyone on World's Day will go into the Times Square, and they'll stand there, right, they get shikha, right, they get drunk, and the ball will come down. Everyone will go, Happy New Year. It's now Sunday, January the 1st. Okay? Well, the next day, what's going on in our shuls? On World's Day, no day of the week, we're saying Hayom Rishon Shabbos, Rishon Shabbos. Today's Sunday. And on the next day, which is our Hayom Sheni Shabbos, our Monday, they're saying it's Sunday. The world, that's the whole calendar of the whole world. And the next day when they're saying it's Monday, everybody back to work, we're saying it's Tuesday. Well, comes Hayom Chamishi Shabbos, and it's Wednesday by them, and the next day is Shishi of us, Friday. It's Thursday of them, you go to your boss, and you say, listen, I gotta leave early today. He says, well, I know, perhaps, no, today, Thursday, I have to leave early, and I have to take off tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday, it's a regular work day. I have to take off tomorrow. I say, well, you have vacation days. No, I have to take off every Friday of the year. Because every Friday of the year would be Shabbos. Could you imagine how devastating that would have been? And the following year, every Thursday would have been Shabbos. And the following year, Wednesday would have been Shabbos. And a leap, what do you do with that extra four years? So at the end of June, they would have had leap day, which would have been no day of the week either. Same deal. Would have been a holiday, a party, a festival, whatever you want to call it. And therefore, this would have been terrible, terrible for Klal Yisrael. It would have, imagine, it would have been an Nisayon, a test, a throwback to our grandparents who came to these shores, wanted to be Shomer Shabbos, wanted to keep Shabbos, were thrown out from one job to the next. They went to work. You're not coming Shabbos to work. You're fired. That's what would have happened. It would have been devastating. Imagine someone trying to become Frum. You would tell them, listen, you're a lawyer. You know, you can't work on Fridays. You can't work. It's not your own business. It would be devastating. Wednesdays, Tuesdays. Baruch Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam made it that this terrible, terrible thing, which would have been a spiritual holocaust, Baruch Hashem never happened. Baruch Hashem, why didn't it happen? So there are numerous reasons. But also in Yonah D'Yayimah, Baruch Hashem for superstitions. There's someone that's called a Frigga Triska Decaphobia, which means people who are afraid of Friday the 13th. You would have had a Friday the 13th every single month. So people said, we can't live like that. Yeah. So Baruch Hashem, the Baruch Hashem created this superstition of Frigga Triska Decaphobias. And we just had also Yonah D'Yayimah because we just had a Friday the 13th on Friday. You didn't appreciate the significance of that. People don't get out of bed, right? They don't leave the house. They don't move because they're afraid. There's a reason. There's a reason for everything. The Baruch Hashem made sure that happened so that we wouldn't have this terrible type of calendar in our system. Now, that's why, again, ultimately, why Birkas HaChama occurs on the Wednesday, the April the 8th. Now, as we said, halachas of Birkas HaChama, when we say it, we know why we say it, when we say it, but the halachas are that Birkas HaChama is said, again, it's always going to be on a Wednesday. Why is it always a Wednesday? Because the tekufa occurs a Tuesday at 6 p.m. On the next day, go outside and say Birkas HaChama. So you gaze at the sun, and you say, Oysam HaSeberashis. Ideally, one should be Mizdareis, one should say it as early as possible. And therefore, many shuls daven basikin. They daven at sunrise, the Shor Nesrei at sunrise, and then right after davening, you go outside and you say the Birkas HaChama. It should l'chatchila be said before the third hour of the day, which is the Seif Zman Kriyishma, the latest time to say Shema. And the b'dieved you have up until Chatzos, which means if it's cloudy, then you could say it until midday, which because of daylight savings time will probably be here in the 1:15, 1:30 range. That's the latest time one could say it. Women and children should say Birkas HaChama. If it's cloudy, then you should wait until before Chatzos, and then say it without Shemu Malchus. You know, Baruch, Oysam HaSeberashis, and it would be, you know, daven that it's not a cloudy day, because again, it's a once in 28 year event. There are opinions that hold, even if it's cloudy, the Panamiris holds, you could say it, and you'd be Yotzei. But there are other opinions that say you cannot, and therefore we wouldn't say it. A way around this, and this is not so practical because it's Erev Pesach this year, would be to drive out to a big mountain. When you see a mountain, you say a bracha of Oysam HaSeberashis, or to drive to the ocean. Now the ocean is really a different bracha, but Oysam HaSeberashis is good enough for the ocean also. And if you could drive there, you'd be able to make the bracha on the mountain or on the ocean, and you'd be able to have in mind, according to Panim Meiris, I'm saying this bracha on the light of the sun. Even though I can't see the sun per se, you'd be able to say it in that way. And again, when it's Erev Pesach, it makes it more difficult. Now there's been a lot of discussion with Birkas HaChama occurring on Erev Pesach. In 1925, the Osrat Rav Tzur Rebbe, when my grandmother was from the town of Ostrovs, Although I never, alas, I haven't had a chance to speak this over with her to hear if she heard this drasha from the Rebbe. In 1925, Birkas HaChama was recited on Erev Pesach. And the Rebbe made the following statement, and you perhaps you've seen this or heard this, and there's questions on the statement of the Rebbe. He said that Birkas HaChama has only till now occurred twice on Erev Pesach. By Yitzias Mitzrayim, when we went out of Egypt, we know Yitzias Mitzrayim was on a Thursday. So allegedly what he means is that Erev Pesach, before they went out of Mitzrayim, they said Birkas HaChama, and then on that Wednesday. And also the story of Purim, which we know took place really at the time of, the story of Purim took place really during Pesach time. That's right, that's when Haman was hung. Pesach, that's when they fasted, was really Pesach time. So he says Birkas HaChama was said then also. And the next time, right, and therefore the time of Geula, time of redemption, and therefore 1925 is happening for the first time since then. And the problem, a couple of problems. Number one is if you calculate the years of Yetzias Mitzrayim, you'll see that Birkas HaChama doesn't work out. Yetzias Mitzrayim was in 2448. If you go back mathematically, you'll see Birkas HaChama was in the year 2437 or 2465, nowhere near 2448. Furthermore, Purim was in the year 3405. And again, nowhere near that. Now, how we calculate years and numbers is a little bit tricky, but it's nowhere near that day, and therefore, again, we have this kasha on the Rebbe. Number two is it's happened since 1925. It happened in 609, it happened in 693, and it happened in 1309. So again, we're saying Birkas HaChama in 2009. 700 years ago, Birkas HaChama was sent on Erev Pesach, and in 609, which was 1400 years ago, it was said also on Erev Pesach. So we hope the bracha of the Rebbe will be mekuyim, of that, you know, the Geula should come. It's certainly a rare time, but to make that statement is tzarachian is difficult to understand. One thing is true is that only for the third time in 1300 years we will say Birkas HaChama and make an Erev Tavshilin on the same day, because we make an Erev Tavshilin Erev Pesach. What the significance of that is, I'm not exactly sure, but Lamaisa is still an interesting fact. Now the Birkas HaChama is a rare event, but we should also appreciate other rare events that occur in our calendar. Haftiras, for example. We read Haftira every week. Yesterday's Haftira we learn, you know, every year as such. But there are very rare Haftiras, and just to list them out, the rarest Haftira of all is the Haftira of Parshas Kedoshim, Hasishbait. It was learned in 1997. And will not be laid again until 2024. So you have a 27 year break where you have a 24 year break. It can even be as long as 27 years or 30 years. You can have a long break between the Haftira. The reason is when Haftira and Kedoshim are together, which happens very often, you read the other Haftira. You read the Haftira of Achreimais. And then sometimes Kedoshim or Achreimais or Shabbos HaGadol, or it could be Erev Rosh Chodesh or Rosh Chodesh. That's the rarest Haftira. The second rarest Haftira is the Haftira of Parshas Mikates. The Mikates is usually Hanukkah, so you don't lay it. But you do lay it. That's a famous Haftira. It's the famous story with Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, that was the two mothers were arguing over the baby, and he said, cut it in half. That's the Chachma of Shlomo, like the Chachma of Yosef. That's why that's the Haftira. That is the second rare Haftira. It's almost always Hanukkah. Unless, if Hanukkah is on a Friday, then if Hanukkah is a Shabbos, like next year, then by Yeshiv, it's the first Shabbos, Mikates is the second. So you lay in a special Haftira of Hanukkah. But if Hanukkah is on a Friday, then on the second day of Hanukkah, you lay in by Yeshiv. The following Shabbos, which is the day after Hanukkah, you lay in Haftira of Mikates. The third rarest Haftira is Parshas Pinchas, which we actually just lay this past year. Pinchas is usually during the 3 weeks. Sometimes it's not in the 3 weeks. In a leap year, which starts on a Thursday, Parshas Pinchas will not be during the 3 weeks. Therefore, Pinchas is drawn back before the 3 weeks, and you lay in Haftira of Pinchas. Sav is not frequent, Tazri is not frequent. Those are the most infrequent years. Now, last year, Tavshin Samaches, you have a very interesting year that will not occur for another 44 years. So it's 43 years from now. And that is if all the Parshiites were separate. I told at the beginning of the year, I told my Kehila, I said, this is the year to be Maivar Sedra. Learn it well, because you have every Parsha which is separate. You always have some Parsha that's together. It's this year we have all the Parshas are together. Sometimes you have at least Matas Masei together, or my son who's in second grade, I tell him his bar mitzvah is going to be in Sam Vayelech in a year. No other Parshas are together. I told him, oh, you're going to learn the only double Parsha of the entire year. It's the last Shabbos of the year. That's it. Nothing else. Just your double Parsha. It's only 70 Psukim, right? But it's still still a double parsha. Very rare. Lastly, you also had a very fascinating event that occurred. And that is, you'll hear the significance of this in a moment. Parshas Pikudei was laying on Shabbat Shkolim, which meant you took out three Sefer Torah. So what's the significance of that? You have three Sefer Torah and a Chazak. Won't happen for 44 years. But you also have the dispute in the Or Sameach, who had a Shaila in 1883. Fascinating Shaila. The Simchas Torah, they auctioned off Aliyahs. They auctioned off Aliyahs for the whole year. Every year. And one person bought Shishi every year. Shishi, the Rebbe's Aliyah. She bought Shishi. Another person bought all the Chazaks for the year. Right? By all the Chazaks, imagine you could take the Chazak and give it to somebody you want to be Mechabed, you want to honor. Okay? So every year it was no problem. Shishi, and he gets Chazak. Now when Pekudei falls out on Shabbos with three Sefer Torah, as you know, you combine Shishi and Shvi together into one Aliyah. It's only when there's three Sefer Torah. Actually, we just had it. Shabbos, Rosh Chanukah. We're in a big dry spell now, three Sefer Torah. It's not going to happen very often for a while, except Simchas Torah. But it happened then. Your three Sefer Torah, what happens? You lay Pekudei. The last two Aliyahs, Shishi and Shvi, are combined into one. And then Shvi is Rosh Chodesh, and the Maftir is Shkolim. Well, that means that Shishi is also Chazak. So the guy that bought Shishi said, it's my Aliyah. And the guy who bought Chazak said, it's my Aliyah. And in 1883, this was the Dinei Torah of 1883 that happened in Europe. So the Or Sameach goes through a whole long tshuva to determine what to do. I think he gives it to the one Chazak. So again, we won't have that problem for another 43 years. So in 2042, you'll have to know this event. I just want to end with two points. And number one is the Chashivas HaZman, the importance of time. And it ties to two verlach of time, the Purim, and with this I'll end. One is the Gemara tells us, the Medrash says, the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva were falling asleep. And he said to them, Bo'ur'eh, come and see that, imagine Esther Hamalka took over 127 provinces because Sarah lived till 127 years. So what's the connection? Why did he tell them this when they were falling asleep? So Sfasemis explains, beautiful pshat. Sfasemis says that you see that the life of Sarah, every moment of her life was lived to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. And her great-great-granddaughter Esther was rewarded. That means for every year of Sarah's life, Esther was rewarded with a province. That means for every month, she was rewarded with a city. For every day, she was rewarded with a neighborhood. For every hour, she was rewarded with a street. And for every minute, she was rewarded with another home. That was her. She was the queen over that area. A person who serves the Ribbono Shel Olam, every moment is calculated by the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why he was waking them up. Don't fall asleep. You don't fall asleep now. How can you fall asleep? Every minute you're sleeping now, you can't make up that minute for either learning Torah or for serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and doing mitzvahs. Wake up. Look what happened. Sarah's chusim lasted for Dairus for many generations. And finally, to end, is on Asar B'Teves, we said the words at the end of Slichas, Tapaych L'Ravacha, Esayma Hamishi, L'Sasim V'Simcha, Tzayma Raviv, Tzayma Asiri. We daven to Ribbono Shel Olam, and this is based on a pasuk in Tanakh. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to turn the fast of the fifth month, which is Tisha B'Av, and the fast of the fourth month, which is Shavuot V'Tammuz, and the fast of the tenth month, which was Asar B'Teves, that it should be turned with tithe. From Kolesky Natsal, our Rebbe, the Rebbe of many of us here, used to explain that the future Tanesim will be turned into Yom Tovim, because we'll have the ability to recognize that everything that happened in the history of Klal Yisrael was with tithe. Was for the good. We don't have the ability to see that today. Our eyes are clouded. We'll have the glasses in the future, as the Tzlach explains the Gemara Pesachim, that in the future, Lasa Vavai will only make the bracha of Hatayv HaMeitiv, not the things that technically are bad, will happen, but we will have what I call the sixth sense. We'll have the ability to see tzaras, to see problems, and we'll be able to see the good in what occurred. So you want to know why we had a Churban Bayis? We'll know the answer, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. You want to know why there was a Holocaust? We don't understand why. We'll understand in the future what the Gamzul type of that tragic event were. Anything that occurred, we'll know. And that's Shrat Haman, to recognize, as the Nesivis explains, the Arur Haman is just as important as Baruch Mordechai, because the tragedy of Haman was just as important to Klal Yisrael, because it caused us to do tshuva, it caused actus, it caused Klal Yisrael to come together. The Haman event, the Haman activities, were just as important as Mordechai, because it ultimately, within the bad, it was good. That's why in the future, Tanesim, fast days will be good, because we'll look at Tisha B'Av and we'll say, what a yontif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did us a favor by destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Today we don't understand why. We could guess, tshuva and so on, but we don't have a Navi, we don't have a prophet to explain this to us. In the future, all of this will become crystal clear, and that's our tefillah on Asar B'Teves. So it's interesting to note that why Asar B'Teves do we say this tefillah? This tefillah is a nachik. We say it every time. We should say it in Shavuos B'Tammuz. We talk about Shavuos B'Tammuz. Tzayim HaRavi is Shavuos B'Tammuz. I want to say as follows. The day of the week of Asar B'Teves this year was on a Tuesday. When is Purim this year? Purim is also going to be on a Tuesday. In fact, Asar B'Teves is always on the same day of the week of the upcoming either Purim or Simchas Torah. In a regular year, a non-leap year, the day of the week of Asar B'Teves is the same day of the week as the Purim that's going to be in a few weeks. In a leap year, like last year, Asar B'Teves is the same day of the week as Simchas Torah. So last year, Asar B'Teves was on a Wednesday. Look at the calendar. And the Simchas Torah, which passed Simchas Torah, was also on a Wednesday. So Asar B'Teves is the same day of the week as either one of the future Purim or Simchas Torah. What are the two happiest days in the Jewish calendar? The days when we dance, the days that we are besimcha, the days that we're levedik, that we're freiluch, we're joyous. We were joyous because we come together either in the Simchas HaTorah or we come together with Mishloach Manos and Matanos Lev Yonim, gifts to the poor, and it's a day of Achdus, a day of celebration. One of the happiest days of the year are Simchas Torah and Purim. So we daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam, we stand here on Asar B'Teves and we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, this day, Tuesday, in the future, we're sitting here fasting, we're being misavol on the Churban Yerushalayim, we're mourning the destruction of the temple. In the future, we're going to be dancing on this day. We're going to be drinking on this day. We're going to be joyous. We're going to be celebrating the salvation from our enemies, from Haman. Just like this day of the week will be in Purim, in this year, or in a leap year, it will be Simchas Torah, the upcoming Simchas Torah. So Ribbono Shel Olam, so too, Tavaich L'Ravacha, this day of the week is going to be the Simcha, so too this tragic day of Asar B'Teves, the tragic day of Tisha B'Av, the tragic day of Shavuos B'Tammuz, those should be Tavaich from tragic days, Minyagim L'Simcha, the Schus of us coming together to say Berachas Hachama, Gantz Chal Yisrael, all of the Jewish people will come on this day where we all recognize on this beautiful Erev Pesach, in the morning we'll stand and we'll recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and at night we'll stand at the Seder table and we'll eat matzahs, the bread of affliction, and we'll remember the Yetzias Mitzrayim. We were first by Lavan, we had all sorts of tzaras, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, and we'll sing all the beautiful Nagunim that we sing all in one beautiful day. In the schus of us doing that, Bez Hashem, we should all be Zaycha, to Tapak, Lervacha, Lesasin, Simcha, we should, with Mashiach, Tikenu, Meherav Yameinu, Amen. Thank you very much.